Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Right now at 8 o'clock on Fox 50, we're tracking breaking news here at home and across the country. From a shooting in Durham to the deaths of dozens of migrants trapped in a semi-truck. We have you covered on the big stories of the day.
Also, we're tracking another warm day across our area and a small chance for isolated showers. We'll show you the areas most likely to see a few raindrops today as you look live at downtown Raleigh.
And it's an indication that the roads are getting busy once again. What you need to know about the return of those ramp meters around the triangle. So you want to leave yourself a little bit of time if you're accessing those ramps this morning. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. 8 a.m. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Ken Smith. Boy, we're in for a relief from the heat and humidity. We can't wait. Let's get over to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner, the WRSB Weather Center.
Looking beautiful in the Triangle area right now. We take a live look at downtown Raleigh, and you can see lots of sunshine. Here's the big thing. It happened. Look at that. Our dew point dropped down to 63, so we have hit nice. We started this morning with our dew point almost 10 degrees higher than that, which means it just felt very muggy. So we've seen the drier air now arrive in the Triangle area. It is 72, but it feels pretty nice out there with that dew point down to 63, and we should stay with that all afternoon. I'm going to show you the dew point as we get through the day today coming up. 76 in Fayetteville, 75 Clinton. We've dropped to 71 now in Southern Pines and Goldsboro. It feels great in Roxboro and South Hill with those temperatures in the mid-60s and a nice low dew point. This is a look at our cloud cover forecast. We're not likely to see any rain from this point out for the rest of the day. And we'll see partly cloudy skies. You can see anywhere from about 48 to about 75% coverage of the sky through the day today. Our highs only make it into the mid-80s, so we'll stay a little bit below normal both today and tomorrow before the heat and humidity returns to in time for the weekend, Brian.
Elizabeth, we are watching traffic this morning around the Triangle and getting an update on some of these crashes. First of all, that crash up on Ray Road that we've been talking about this morning looks like it has cleared in just the past few minutes. Looks like traffic's moving along pretty well through there. We have a crash on Blue Ridge Road out at Durley Road. That's in the clearing stages. Something new on that side of town in the past couple of minutes. We've noticed some heavy delays on 440 westbound, beginning right around Glenwood Avenue, extending all the way down toward Lake Boone Trail. Once you get to Wade Avenue, traffic's flowing well, but look out for some delays through that area. That earlier crash out at New Hope Road at Rogers Lane, also still in the clearing stages. Sensors are not indicating any delays at this point. And some new information about this crash over in Zebulon on Pippin Road at Lacewing Drive. We're hearing this may be a vehicle that's gone into a house. Working to learn more about that there on the eastern side of Wake County. Want to update you about your current 40 westbound delays through Wake County. We're down to just 3 minutes coming out of Johnston County. That's good news with just a little bit of a slowdown between 42 and the Clayton Bypass. Once you get into South Raleigh, also some brake tapping with some congestion between Lake Wheeler Road out toward Gorman Street. About 2 extra minutes to make that trip from 440 out to US 1.
We're tracking breaking developments and a tragic story out of San Antonio. Right now, federal investigators are headed there after 46 migrants were found dead inside a semi-truck. Another 16 people, including 4 children, were suffering from heat stroke and exhaustion. 3 people are in custody, but we're still working to learn if they're linked to this incident. Investigators say the trailer was discovered by someone working nearby. That person heard a cry for help and found the trailer doors partially opened with a number of people who were already dead inside.
46 individuals who are no longer with us, who had families, who were likely trying to find a better life. But this is nothing short of a horrific human tragedy.
Firefighters say there was no sign of water or working AC unit in that truck. The Department of Homeland Security is taking charge of that investigation.
I'm Brett Neeson, the WRAL Breaking News Tracker in Durham, where police are investigating a shooting at McDougal Terrace. It happened here on Ridgeway Avenue around 1 a.m. This car was shot multiple times. You can see one of the windows is shattered, and there's a large bullet hole in the driver's side door. A forensics team only spent around 90 minutes gathering evidence. I'm working to find out from police whether or not anybody was shot and if they have any suspects. I'll stay on top of the story and keep you updated. In Durham, Brett Neeson, WRAL News.
Tracking a developing story on I-540 in Raleigh, we've made calls to try to figure out what caused a crash near the Falls of Neuse Road exit. It happened around 2:30 this morning. You can see 2 cars were smashed up in that scene. It has since cleared now. Investigators haven't said if anyone was hurt.
Speaking of I-540, we're monitoring a sign that traffic is returning to pre-pandemic levels right here in the Triangle. Starting this morning, NCDOT bringing back ramp meters on I-540. Meters turned back on just in the last hour in the intersection of Falls of News, Six Forks, Creedmoor, and Leesville Roads. Right now, the department is only turning these signals on for the morning commute. It returned off for more than 2 years because of low traffic volume during the pandemic. Overseas and happening now, President Biden on his way to Spain to discuss the next steps in Ukraine with NATO allies. The president just wrapped up a summit with the world leaders at G7 about 2 hours ago. They pledged to support Ukraine for as long as it takes to hold off Russia's invasion. All of the G7 leaders other than Japan are in NATO as well, so all of them will be attending today's gathering in Spain. They plan to unveil sanctions, including a price cap on Russian oil. In the next 10 minutes, we'll take a look at where the war in Ukraine stands right now.
And new this morning, gasoline prices are improving in the Triangle just days now before the busiest traveled days of the 4th of July weekend. It is shaping up to be another disappointing day, though, at airports nationwide, including right here at home. WRL's Laura Levine is live at RDU International, where we learned in just the last 5 minutes flight cancellations now up to 17 as we keep count here. Laura.
Jeff, as the day goes by, more flights are being canceled. As you mentioned, we are now looking at a total of 17 flights canceled. 15 were canceled just before 7 o'clock this morning. Behind me, though, you can see we're not seeing large crowds here at the airport like we have seen in the past couple of days. We haven't seen long lines at TSA, but we continue to see flights being grounded. Now, these cancellations in part are due to staff shortages and staff really not being able to keep up with the demand of travel. On Monday, more than 800 flights were canceled nationwide. I spoke with Barbara Ahern. Her family was traveling to Seattle this morning to attend a wedding. She said, you know, this is her first time traveling since the start of the pandemic. First, she was worried about the pandemic getting on a plane, and now she's worried about getting stuck at the airport or missing a special occasion.
I was kind of concerned. I said, oh, gosh, it's only 5 o'clock in the morning and the airport is so crowded. But everybody's been real helpful and nice so far.
So what does this mean for the busy 4th of the July weekend? Well, the best advice is just get to the airport as early as possible and check in directly with your airline so you can stay up to date on the latest situation and schedules here at the airport. Laura Levine, WRL News, live at RDU.
We have some good news when it comes to road travel. Gas prices are dropping. The 3 a.m. updated numbers from AAA shows the average price for a gallon of gas in Raleigh right now is $4.53. That's a 9-cent drop from this time last week. And we're seeing this all across the country as well. The new national average this morning, $4.88. It was close to $5 a gallon a week ago. And of course, WRL is here to help you find the lowest gas prices near you. Search fuel on the WRL.com website or the news app to find the WRL Fuel Tracker. It'll help you find the best deals on gas.
In just about 20 minutes, vaccine experts will meet to decide if we need an updated COVID-19 booster shot this fall. An FDA panel has been put together to consider variant-specific shots. It includes one from Pfizer, which says its updated vaccine is 1.5 times more effective than the original one was against Omicron and its subvariants. The FDA says 2022 is a transition year that could change how we view the vaccine. We'll be watching today's meeting. It starts at 8:30, and we'll let you know what happens. Today, Cumberland County will start scaling back its COVID-19 testing. The site at Manna Church will close after today. The Abney Chapel site will shut down after tomorrow. And all countywide sites will close by the end of next month, except for the one at the Public Health Department.
New this morning, abortion bans in 2 states are on pause after the courts intervene. Judges in Louisiana and Utah temporarily blocked so-called trigger laws from taking effect. Supporters say the end to abortion services on such short notice caused harm to women. Trigger laws in at least 5 other states are being challenged in courts as well. Those laws took effect following the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling overturning Roe v. Wade on Friday. In South Carolina, meanwhile, a new law is in effect this morning banning abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected. Abortions were allowed in cases of rape or incest for up to 20 weeks of pregnancy. There's also an exception in cases to save the life of the mother.
Coming up on 8:10 right now, the rules for serving alcohol in North Carolina could soon be a little looser. Just ahead, what you can expect to change at your local bar if a proposal getting traction in our state gets the okay.
Then ahead in our next half hour, a look at the new initiative launching today in Durham that aims to help people who dial 911 to get the help they need.
Today and tomorrow, likely to feel the best of any days for the next seven. As a matter of fact, today probably looking best. Tomorrow we get into an isolated chance of a thunderstorm, and then we're back into the fairly intense heat as we get into the holiday weekend. I'll show you what the heat index will make it feel like coming up.
Eight 14 is the time right now, your Tuesday morning. This is a lovely look at Franklinton right now as we wake up together here on WREL on Fox 50. And that is a great scene all around the triangle. Elizabeth Gardner in the WREL Severe Weather Center with a few more looks here as we enter this. It's going to be a nice phase here for today.
It sure is pretty out there. We take a live look at our WREL camera network, Goldsboro, Apex, Chapel Hill, Durham, all seeing bright skies right now. We started with some cloud cover, but we're seeing the wind coming out of the north northeast, bringing in some drier air, clearing our skies, dropping our humidity. Our Chapel Hill look is courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. We take a look at Futurecast, and you can see Futurecast showing those clouds dissipating as we get closer to lunchtime. Now, it may be that our far southern counties, could be Cumberland County, Sampson County, still get stuck with some cloud cover and maybe some humidity through the afternoon. But most of us should see a nice drop. We just saw the drop happen in the 8 o'clock hour in the Triangle area, and we'll see that humidity dropping as we get through the rest of the area. Now, notice we get past sunset, and some of that cloud cover begins to lift back to the north. We're going to be back into a chance of some scattered storms for tomorrow afternoon. Let's take a look at the tropics. A lot to talk about here. We have several clusters of thunderstorms coming off the coast of Africa, heading towards South America, and also something that we're watching there in the Gulf of Mexico. Let's start with this system that's down to the south. It is potential tropical cyclone 2. That means that it has some characteristics of a tropical system. As a matter of fact, it has winds at tropical storm strength at 40 miles per hour, but it doesn't have that closed circulation yet, and until it does, it will just be a potential storm. So why even give it that name? Well, because it's going to affect folks in the Leeward Islands and here along the northern edges of South America. And that way the Hurricane Center can call it something and show the fan and let people know. It's moving west at 23 miles per hour currently, and you can see its forecast path takes it really right along the northern edge of Venezuela. It becomes potentially a hurricane just before it makes landfall in Central America, and that would happen over the weekend. So something to watch there. All the computer models are pretty much in agreement that that's where it's headed, except for one, which points it up toward Cuba. But the confidence is high that it's going to stay well to our south. Another one following that one also has a 20% chance of developing in that same region a little bit later in the week. Also, we have this one here in the Gulf of Mexico, which only has a 30% chance of developing in the next 5 days. But the computer models are picking up on it a little bit. Right now, it's just sort of a broad area of rain. But we begin to see a little bit of circulation starting to happen toward the end of the week, and some heavy rain around Houston. That starts to lift northward, becomes a low pressure system, and takes some rain up past Dallas. It's not anything that's going to affect us here. We do have medium rip current danger along the Outer Banks, but everything else looks pretty good. If you're headed to the beach for the holiday weekend, we're not going to have a tropical system affecting us, but it doesn't mean that the rip current danger wouldn't be high. Our best chance of rain in the next 5 days will actually come tomorrow, but we're into just a few isolated showers and storms starting Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday for the holiday. Temperatures will be in the low 90s, but it will feel a lot hotter than that. I'll show you the heat index coming up, Brian.
We're checking traffic here at 817, taking a look at I-40 at Avant Ferry Road. Westbound traffic heading away from us there. And there's a report of a minor crash on 40 westbound right around the Jones-Franklin Road Bridge before you get to the US 1440 interchange. A little bit of a slowdown there on the westbound side of 440 this morning. But overall, your trip on 40 westbound looks pretty good coming out of Johnston County all the way through Wake and Durham County. On the north side of Zebulon, watch for a crash on Pippin Road right around Lacewing Drive. This reportedly is a vehicle into a house. That's how it was dispatched. We're working to learn more about that. This is not affecting a major road, but certainly there on Pippin Road, you could see some activity as they work to get that cleared. Over on the west side of Raleigh, a crash also getting cleared from Blue Ridge Road at Durley Road, and this crash out at Rogers Lane at New Hope Road, still reportedly an active scene. I would be surprised, though, if you ran into any delays. A reminder about those ramp meters. They are back on this morning on the ramps from Falls, Six Forks, Creedmoor, and Leesville Road onto 540 westbound. They're only going to be on for the morning commute. This is the first time they've been on since before the pandemic, so this is kind of a new pattern out there, something to keep in mind if you're trying to make that trip onto 540 westbound in North Raleigh.
Firefighters and soldiers are searching for survivors through the rubble of a shopping mall in Ukraine this morning after a Russian missile strike. At least 18 people were killed in the attack just southeast of the capital city, Kyiv. More than 1,000 people were inside that mall when two missiles hit that building. Ukraine's president says the attack was calculated and not accidental. The United Nations and other world leaders have condemned the attack.
Here at home, detectives in Zebulon say they are working on several promising leads after a shooting there. We first told you about the violence spanning two scenes last night. Police say a man riding in a car was shot in the upper body along West Sycamore Street. Officers say that man left the scene and reached Gannon Avenue before being taken to the hospital. Investigators have not said what led up to the shooting or released a motive in the case.
This morning, we're hearing from the former high school football coach at the center of a U.S. Supreme Court ruling. The justices decided just in the last 24 hours, Joseph Kennedy has a constitutional right to pray at the 50-yard line after his team's games. Opponents, though, say Kennedy's prayers could lead players to feel pressured to join in, which shouldn't happen in public schools, but the high court disagreed. Kennedy says he's still coming to grips with the ruling.
You know, I'm still in shock. I'm just so grateful that this long, hard fought is finally over and we won. And thank God and everybody that supported me throughout this. I mean, it's just great news for the entire nation.
Kennedy has said if the court ruled in his favor, he would return to his former school and try to get his job back. Well, the court still has four opinions left to announce this term. The next opinions will be released tomorrow.
Voters in several states will head to the polls today as primary election season ramps up. Primaries are taking place in Illinois, Mississippi, Utah, and Colorado. Former President Trump's influence will loom large yet again in Republican races. That includes in Colorado, where GOP candidates are pushing Trump's false claims that the 2020 election was rigged. One candidate for Secretary of State was indicted last year for tampering with voting machines.
Again, I'm not an election conspiracy theorist. When people came to me and I listened to the people. That's how I got involved.
There are several races for governor today. Oklahoma is holding a special primary for the U.S. Senate.
Now to some local headlines. Another Wake County community is considering a non-discrimination rule. Garner's Town Council will take a look at an ordinance already in place in half of the county's other towns. It aims to protect members of the LGBTQ community and others from public and employment discrimination. The ordinance has become a controversial topic in the towns that haven't adopted it, including Holly Springs. Tonight's council meeting starts at 6.
This evening, the sheriff of Durham County is inviting you to a discussion focused on the LGBTQ community. Sheriff Clarence Burkhead is hosting the event called Safety and Experiences in the Criminal Justice System. This follows several threats made to local pride events over the past month. Tonight's discussion starts at 5:30 at Northern Regional Library on Milton Road.
Happening tonight, advocates will call for action from the city of Raleigh when it comes to affordable housing. Several groups, including Emancipate NC, are holding a briefing about publicly owned land at South and East Moore Square. The city is preparing to develop those two areas, and these groups want them to be used for affordable housing. They say that would keep low-income neighbors from being priced out. Tonight's briefing is at 7.
There's a push moving forward to ease restrictions on bars here in North Carolina. A state Senate committee just advanced a bill that would no longer require you to give your contact information at bars that don't serve food. It would also allow some community colleges to sell alcohol at professional sporting events. The bill now moves to the Senate floor, where it will need approval from the House as well before it reaches the governor's desk. How about this for a record breaker? The biggest wall of dominoes ever toppled. Take a look. This happened at an academy in Michigan. Children joined a team of domino artists helping to assemble the world's longest domino wall. They arranged more than 54,000 dominoes all around the school gym, and nearly 50,000 more were used to make multiple chain reactions all around that space. The team says it took almost an entire week to make that wall.
And they should get plenty of extra credit for putting that together. My goodness, look at that.
Where's the video of it all getting toppled?
Well, we're hoping that it at least starts because we want to see it.
That's what I want to see. How long it took also.
Absolutely. A week's worth of work.
Record stuff.
Incredible. Well, it's an exciting day for families at Fort Bragg just to have the reunion that's months in the making and White won't be the last.
Plus, a big issue investigators are looking into after a deadly train crash and derailment in Missouri that made national headlines.
your number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
8:26, the time on your Tuesday morning. I'm Jeff Hogan with a look at the top local stories we are following for you. We're working to learn more about a shooting at McDougal Terrace in Durham. It happened after 1 a.m. on Ridgeway Avenue. You can see a car was shot into several times. A forensics team only spent about 90 minutes on that scene collecting evidence. Police have not said if anyone was hurt in the shooting. With just days until the July 4th weekend, flight cancellations are still posing a problem at RDU International, where you're looking live right now inside. We learned in just the last 30 minutes, 17 flights are now canceled this morning because of flight staffing shortages. It's a national problem that experts say could last throughout the summer. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center.
Pretty right now. We take a live look at downtown Apex. A little bit of cloud cover there, but we're going to see mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies from here on out for the rest of the day today. It feels really nice in Lewisburg and South Hill in the mid-60s. A little warmer and stickier in Fayetteville and Irwin with temperatures in the low to mid-70s. Heading out for exercise, our humidity is starting to drop across most of the area except for our far southern counties. Our highs this afternoon only make it into the mid-80s, so today's likely to be the most comfortable day of the week. Brian?
It is 8:27 now, and a reminder that the ramp meters are back on this morning from Fall, Six Forks, Leesville, and Creedmoor Road onto 540 westbound. That's going to be with us on the morning commute from now on. They have not been on since before the pandemic, so be prepared for that. It helps restrict the flow onto 540 westbound from those ramps and keeps things moving along well on the interstate. Around the rest of the triangle, our crashes are starting to get cleared and our major routes are looking pretty good. Watch out for a little bit of a slowdown on 40 westbound right around the 540 interchange leaving the airport area.
Brian, thanks. Next on Fox 50, exciting news. Families at Fort Bragg have been anticipating now for months. And ahead on today, actor Steve Carell joins the team live on the plaza.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Dew points are dropping in the triangle. I'll show you why today will be the most comfortable day of the week.
Plus, we're tracking the effect of more cancellations and delays at airports around the country, including RDU, where you're looking live right now.
And the new effort launching today in Durham that aims to provide 911 callers with a new type of help in emergency situations. Thanks for staying with us here on Fox 50 at 8:30. I'm Ken Smith.
I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for making this part of your day as we get our Tuesday started. Mm-hmm. Nice enough start here, yeah. And we get a one-day special. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center before it heats up again, right?
That's right. Nice, bright skies, and 72 degrees is our temperature, our dew point 63. We've seen that dropping nicely over the last several hours. Last time we checked in, it was in the mid-60s. We've dropped it down to 63, probably going to drop it into the upper 50s by this afternoon. The lower that number, the more comfortable it feels, the less muggy and oppressive it feels. But by tomorrow, it begins to creep back up, and it is full on by the weekend. We'll take a look coming up. Mid-60s in South Hill, 68 in Roxborough, low 70s in the Triangle, mid-70s in Fayetteville and Clinton, where we may not really get into that nice dry air. Right now, we're mostly sunny to partly cloudy. That'll be the case for our daylight hours, but our cloud cover starts to thicken up a little bit. It increases as we get into the evening, and tomorrow will be a bit more cloudy with a better chance of some scattered storms in our southern counties. We'll take a look at that coming up. Today, really not bad. Below normal with highs in the mid-80s, some sunshine, and of course, our dew point humidity will continue to drop through the afternoon.
New this morning, gas prices are improving in the Triangle just days before the busiest travel days of the 4th of July weekend, but it's shaping up to be another disappointing day at airports nationwide, and that includes right here at home. WRAL's Laura Levine is live at RD International, where we learned in the last few minutes a number of cancellations are now up to 17, Laura.
That's right, Ken. As the day goes on, we continue to see that number grow at the airport. Again, as you mentioned, 17 flights canceled. We also saw a number of delays, most of those cancellations coming from American Airlines this morning. Now, nationwide, we know this is an issue. On Monday, more than 800 flights were canceled across the country. Here at RDU, the good news is we haven't seen the long lines and the packed airport as we have seen the past couple of days, but people still frustrated about what's going on. We heard some of those concerns. I spoke with a father and son who was heading to visit family in Europe. They tell me every flight they book, it either gets delayed or canceled.
Honestly, it's very frustrating because I have family over there and we travel like frequently. So it's like, you know, I don't really want to deal with this, but, and I have to travel kind of. So it's like, I wish they would get everything together, but I guess, you know, it's going to take a little longer.
This is a story that we will continue to stay on top of and monitor, of course, throughout the 4th of July weekend. If you are traveling this weekend, it is important to get to the airport early and check in with your direct airline so that you are up to date on their schedules. Laura Levine, WRL News, live at RDU.
Here's a sure sign. Traffic is returning to pre-pandemic levels here in the Triangle. Starting this morning, NCDOT is bringing back those ramp meters on I-540. The meters were turned back on in just the last 90 minutes at the intersections of Falls of Neuse, Six Forks, Creedmoor, and Leesville Roads, where they meet up and join I-540. Right now, the department is only turning these signals on for the morning commute. They were turned off for more than 2 years because of low traffic volume during the pandemic.
Today, many families at Fort Bragg will finally get to reunite for the first time in months. That's because troops sent to Europe after Russia's invasion of Ukraine are coming home. This is video from February when the first group of 82nd Airborne troops left Fort Bragg. About 5,000 of them were sent to Poland. Now, their mission was to help NATO serve refugees escaping Ukraine.
They did immediate training. They gave them some equipment. They worked with some artillery units, some HIMARS rocket systems, and they did what the 82nd Airborne does, you know, whatever's needed worldwide for national defense.
The group of soldiers arriving today will be the first from Fort Bragg to return home from that NATO mission. They're due to touch down at Fort Bragg this afternoon. But more troops could be headed to the region soon. President Biden is expected to extend troop deployments in Poland and move those staying in Baltic countries, including Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. The announcement could come during the NATO summit in Spain, which starts today.
This afternoon, we'll learn more about the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol, where you're looking live right now. The House committee investigating it all is holding an unplanned hearing. Still a lot we don't know about the hearing. The committee says you will hear from witnesses and see newly obtained evidence, but didn't explain what the focus of it will be. Investigators did not have any plans to hold another hearing on the U.S. Capitol riot until July. You can watch it all on WRAL at 1 p.m. So Days of Our Lives will move over to WRAL 2.
We're tracking the investigation into that deadly train derailment in Missouri. Investigators say the railroad crossing where this happened has no lights or moving barriers to warn drivers a train is approaching. Three people died when an Amtrak train hit a dump truck there yesterday afternoon northeast of Kansas City. Eight of the train's cars derailed. Two of the people who died were on the train. The other was in the truck. 50 others were hurt.
Today, we'll learn more about a plan to spend your tax dollars in North Carolina. Both the state, Senate, and House will have come to an agreement for next year's budget. It's according to House Speaker Tim Moore. Today, we expect to find out what the compromise includes. The goal is to vote on the budget by the end of the week. Governor Roy Cooper has not said if he will sign it yet, but a spokesman says he is involved with the discussions with the House and Senate leaders.
Starting today in Durham, a new program will connect people experiencing a mental health crisis with the help they need. We're talking about the crisis call diversion pilot program at the 911 center. The service will be available to anyone in the city. Those who call 911 may be connected with a mental health professional. The program is a first for North Carolina.
A conference out west turns into a nightmare for two women from Raleigh. Coming up, how friends and family and co-workers are coming together in support after the two are hurt in a shootout.
Also, House abortion rights advocates are hoping to fight back against the Supreme Court ruling overturning Roe v. Wade as the battle moves to the state level.
Breaking news on one of the top accounting firms in the world. No doubt you have heard of Ernst & Young. It is being fined $100 million by federal regulators because a significant number of its employees cheated on their ethics exams. Auditors for the firm have to pass key exams in order to get their certified public accountant licenses. The director of the SEC says it is simply outrageous that the very professionals responsible for catching cheating by clients cheated on their ethics exams. The SEC says hundreds of employees were involved in this and that the cheating dated back years to 2012.
Our news continues now with more fallout from the U.S. Supreme Court ruling overturning Roe v. Wade.
The battle over abortion rights is now heading to states as advocacy groups try to block bans from taking effect. Chris Pallone shows us how that effort is shaking out.
With President Biden in Europe, members of his administration insist they're still working to protect access to abortion in the wake of Friday's landmark Supreme Court decision.
We're going to continue to do everything we can to make sure you receive the care you need.
Right now, abortion is illegal with few exceptions in at least seven states, and soon at least six more are also expected to ban it. The administration dismissing for now an idea to provide abortion services on federal land, but says states should not interfere with abortion pills sent through the mail.
We will do everything within our power as an administration through the executive branch to ensure that women have access to the medication they need.
Abortion rights groups have filed lawsuits against trigger laws in at least eight states. Judges in Louisiana and Utah have temporarily blocked new abortion laws from taking effect. And while the latest polling shows 56% of Americans say they oppose the Supreme Court's decision, Republicans are celebrating the ruling.
What the court did in effect was return this very controversial issue to the people and their representatives.
And Democrats are hoping the issue drives more voters to the polls for the fall midterms.
But Republicans point out their voters are motivated by the topic of abortion as well. Well, time now, 8:40. Here in North Carolina, abortion clinics are bracing for an influx of patients. A Woman's Choice is hiring more doctors and support staff. The abortion provider has clinics in Raleigh, Greensboro, and Charlotte. They're also planning to expand their hours, and they're partnering with hotels to be able to offer lodging to women from out of state.
A plan to help police respond faster to shooting calls is getting some pushback in Durham. Just ahead, why not everyone is on board with the idea of using ShotSpotter.
And what new research is showing about a unique way to grade students in Wake County schools without the use of letters. And as we head to a break, your winning lottery numbers on your screen. Now you're looking live at our solar farm in Wake County, plenty of sunshine beaming down, but we are getting a nice break from the heat and humidity, albeit brief. We'll take what we can get. Let's get right over to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WR Severe Weather Center. Check how this day is going to shape up.
Today looks like it's probably going to be the most comfortable day of the week. Tomorrow's not going to be terrible, but then we're going to kind of creep back up into what feels like full-on summer, and you know what that means around here. Right now it is 72. Temperature here is probably not going to drop much more, but our dew point has dropped considerably, almost 10 degrees this morning. What does that mean? It means that the moisture in the atmosphere has dropped, meaning it won't feel as sticky, as muggy. Our temperature will climb on up into the low 80s by early afternoon and just climb to about 85 for the afternoon high. So it's all going to be about the dew points. And boy, they keep on dropping up north. I love it. 57 Roxborough, 56 in South Hill. Dew points in the 50s with highs in the mid 80s actually feels really nice. So a lot of us are going to see a real treat. The dew point has dropped to 65 in Fayetteville and Clinton. I was a little worried that it wouldn't drop so much there just because we've got a lot more moisture that's down to the south. But here we go. That's a good sign. Looking at 61 in Goldsboro, 66 in Southern Pines, and we'll continue to see that falling a bit more. This high pressure system rotating clockwise, pushing in that cooler and drier air. Now, it'll bump up against that cold front. It won't be able to move much farther than that. So that's why I was thinking, maybe we won't see as much of it in our southern counties. But we're well on our way. That's wonderful news. This is a look at our dew point hour by hour through the day, and we'll drop it into the 50s as we head into the afternoon and evening. It's going to make it feel nice. We'll see mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies. Good looking day for us. That dew point feeling somewhere between comfy and tolerable. And then tomorrow it jumps back up into the upper 60s, and that feels fairly sticky. Once we get into the 70s, it feels very muggy. Here's how things will look for us. The humidity or the heat index is on the right side, so feeling like mid 80s for the next couple of days. But by Thursday, we jump to 97. Friday 97, and 101 on Saturday. And of course, this is the beginning of the holiday weekend. We're not looking at a lot of rain, some scattered showers and thunderstorms. We definitely have parts of the viewing area that need some rain. But for folks who will be outside enjoying the holiday weekend, maybe at the pool, the lake, the beach, we don't have a lot of thunderstorms to get in the way of that. But I know there's some farmers out there that really could stand to see some rain as soon as possible. We'll see some of that coming up for tomorrow. Again, expect our temperatures just to hold in the low 90s, which is not too far from normal, but it will feel much hotter than that through the weekend with the heat index.
Quick break first, though. Elizabeth, thank you. This morning, family, friends, and coworkers are stepping up to help two women from Raleigh who were shot in San Diego. Tony Erlis and Lane Shear both work at the Price Company, which manages student and multifamily housing in the Triangle. They were in San Diego to attend a national conference, but found themselves in the line of fire as two groups started a shootout in the street. Both women were rushed to the hospital and are expected to survive. It will be a long road to recovery, though, and a coworker set up a GoFundMe account saying Lane and Tony will need surgeries, rehab, and other support. More than $110,000 has already been raised, including a $10,000 donation from the president of the Price Company. In a statement, the company said both women are loved and the support they've received speaks for itself.
This morning, some neighbors still have questions as Durham prepares to test out technology that would pinpoint the exact location of a shooting in just 60 seconds. ShotSpotter's built as a way to prevent gun violence, but some people are worried it will be an invasion of privacy and could lead to over-policing in Durham. It involves sensors collecting acoustics of gunshots. That information is sent to a data center and then to police officers.
Well, I mean, something has to be done. I've been fighting for something to be done about gun violence for years now, but at least they're trying this. All that we could do is try, but I still have questions.
ShotSpotter's CEO says the company has seen success in stopping crime and protecting privacy in Oakland, California. There's still no timeline, though, on when the technology could be installed in Durham. City leaders plan to hold another meeting before that happens.
And so gun violence in Durham is the topic of a brand new WRL documentary premiering tomorrow. WRL's documentary unit was given exclusive access to the Durham Police Department to see firsthand how officers are fighting the rampant and complex problem of gun violence in the Bull City. They spent time with families who have been just torn apart by that gun violence. They've talked to advocates trying to tackle the root causes of this issue and push city leaders for answers. You can watch it all, Durham Under Fire, tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. on WRL or on WRLDocumentary.com.
Today, Jeffrey Epstein's longtime partner, Ghislaine Maxwell, will be sentenced for her role in recruiting and abusing young girls. She was found guilty in a conspiracy to recruit, groom, and abuse underage girls with Jeffrey Epstein. Prosecutors want to see Maxwell spend at least 30 years in prison, while her attorneys are asking for a sentence of less than 20 years.
Washington Commanders owner Dan Snyder has refused to accept a subpoena in an investigation into workplace culture with the team. That's according to the House Oversight Committee. Congress is investigating sexual harassment and toxic workplace claims made against the NFL franchise. While Snyder has turned down invitations to testify before the committee voluntarily, a spokesperson for Snyder says he has not refused to appear.
Well, parents, if you're looking to escape the summer heat with your kids, well, Rick Damangella shows us some of the new movies releasing next month that might be just the relief you need.
Kevin.
Kevin, Stuart, Bob, and the rest of the Amber accomplices are back in Minions: The Rise of Gru as the 12-year-old baddie seeks to become a supervillain. Minion Mayhem commences July 1st.
Kids, get the popcorn out.
Let me tell you the story of the space Viking, Thor Odinson.
Actually, it's the story of how Thor went from dad bod to god bod, only to find out he's not the mighty Thor.
Jane?
Find out what is even happening when Thor: Love and Thunder lands in theaters July 8th.
You wanted to be a samurai. Fun, isn't it?
Now go get him.
Samuel L. Jackson and Michael Cera lead an all-star voice cast in Paws of Fury: The Legend of Hank. The animated adventure hits theaters July 15th.
You guys gonna tell me what's going on?
Hell no.
Daniel Kaluuya and Kiki Palmer star in Jordan Peele's Nope. We're not saying it's alien, so you will have to find out whatever it is when the movie Nope's into theaters July 22nd.
What do I have here?
Squeezy Bruce!
Squeezy what?
Dwayne Johnson and Kevin Hart are super-powered canines in DC League of Super Pets, with John Superman Krasinski and Keanu Batman Reeves as their heroic human counterparts. The fur flies July 29th. Catching a double feature in Hollywood, I'm Rick Damigella.
There's a lot of animation in those features. Well, a warning out of Goldsboro this morning. The city manager says the Neuse River water level is low and could affect the city's raw water supply. The mayor is asking people to start conserving water wherever they can. And a few ways you can do it is limiting runs on your dishwasher or washing machines or cutting back on watering your lawn.
Tonight, we'll get a look at some big changes to an important road running through Garner. Town Council will receive an update at 6 tonight on the design for a widening project on Jones Sausage Road. This affects the area between the Amazon facility and East Garner Road. A public hearing on the project is also planned for July 7th at the Garner Senior Center.
We have an update from Wake County Schools. Carroll Middle School will continue using a grading system that does not involve letter grades, but that plan will not expand to other schools, at least for now. Research shows the competency-based system hasn't made an impact on student performance one way or the other. Supporters say it gives students direct feedback on certain skills they've mastered and what they need to work on.
This morning, Orange County Animal Services is getting a special thank you for a program that helps barn cats. The Working Barn Cat Project is an effort to cut back on the overpopulation of free-roaming cats in Orange County. Today, the shelter will receive $20,000 from Petco to support the program. The grant will pay for more cats to be trapped, spayed, or neutered, vaccinated, and microchipped before being released back into rural parts of the county.
New this morning, NASA is celebrating another successful launch to space.
3, 2, 1.
And away it goes. Mm-hmm. New video shows the launch of the Capstone spacecraft in New Zealand. This was just before 6 a.m. That rocket will head to the moon, where it will study a specific orbit where NASA plans to build a small space station. And that station will serve as a rest spot for astronauts who are headed to the moon's surface.
Yeah, and this is all part of the NASA's Artemis program, which they're trying to get manned crew back to the moon again. And it's really the satellite they're dispatching is like a size of a microwave, really. And it's going to study that specific orbit to see if that planned space station can be built in that area.
Small rest area.
Oh, yeah.
They'll have it. And we will get another check on weather and traffic. That's coming up next.